BadQuaker.com audio article for Tuesday, July 12, 2011 by Ben Stone. The State and Mold. The State seems very much like mold. When you look at it from a distance, it looks like one entity, but it's actually a brainless collection of tiny parts moving and developing independently to take over all available space. Attack mold violently, and its spores take to the wind and spread in a million directions. Spray it with bleach and disinfectants until you think you've won, and still it comes back. Killing part of it only creates an opportunity for the rest of it to move in and take over. It continues to grow until it consumes all available space and food. Then it will go dormant, waiting for the next opportunity to grow. This is a grim outlook of a sad future. Fortunately, this metaphor is flawed in one aspect, and this grim future is not our future. The state is not like mold, because the state cannot go dormant. The state must reproduce its myth and lies in a continuous stream without missing a generation. Otherwise, it has to start over from a single Jericho, and the state does not want to start over again. So let's bring that microscope a little closer and learn about this stinky little parasite we call the state. Always keep in mind, with enough support, the state can be a powerful force no matter its diminutive size. And yes, it is small, despite its appearance. The state really is only as large as a single person because it's based on individual humans acting on its behalf. The free market is more powerful than the state because it's driven by the power that created man, not by man alone. The market is driven by the same power that drives a butterfly to leave the forests of Mexico and fly all the way to the prairies of Canada. The market is what drove man out of caves and into huts and out of huts and into houses of stone. The market drives the sparrow to attack the crow that nears its nest. The market is the power that drives the stars to pull matter to themselves. The market is the very breath of the universe. Sorry, I got a bit ahead of the story there. Let's get our feet back on the ground and our eyes back on our enemy. So the question is about the end of the state. In this short article, I won't attempt to cover the long, hard fight that it will take to kill the state. That's for another time and a lot more space than this writing will allow. But I would like to cover the possibility of the state returning after it has been long dead. I said above that the state requires a continuous stream of generations for its lies to maintain their hold on the human mind. But within one generation, it can die completely and come back. After all, it's died out completely in the past, only to rise again from its ashes. Consider the ancient myth of the phoenix. Here's a story common to almost every culture because, I believe, it's actually the story of the state. Oftentimes, the state has adopted the image of the phoenix to intimidate and awe the people into submission, a sort of hedge against rebellion, saying to the world, "Kill me, and I will return greater than before." In the early days of Christianity, John the Apostle wrote the final book of the Bible sometime around 90 AD. In it, he describes a beast that rises to dominate the whole world, and right at the peak of its powers, it's struck down with a death blow to the head. Then, miraculously, the hideous beast rises from the dead stronger than before. I love zombie stories. Sorry, I had to break the flow there before I waxed all rhapsodic again and started talking about the stars and the universe and whatnot. I generally try to avoid basing anything on John's book of his revelation because of the confusion that surrounds it. But I would like to add one thought to the above statement. When I think of John's story, I like to imagine he's talking about the state that existed during his lifetime, the Roman state. If I try, I can convince myself that the death blow to the state came with the fall of Rome, and the resurrection of the state is the modern incarnation. I don't think about that too much, though, because it's thin and very easy to punch full of holes. So then, let's wrap this up by addressing the question directly. What will it take for humans to give up the idea that a small group of people can make laws and violate nature by dominating the rest of humanity? What will it take for mankind to reject the myth that prosperity, peace and security can be obtained by using violence, lies, and theft? I won't answer directly. In this article, I choose to cheat and give the answer Thoreau and Emerson gave. Mankind must change. A leap must take place. If by leap, do I mean spiritual, or if by leap, do I mean evolutional? I dare not assume. I do know that it will be a leap based on knowledge. Humans must individually and as a whole thoughtfully reject violence, lies, and theft. Once accomplished, the state will be a memory, but nothing more. A tale told to keep children from misbehaving. Consider the lesson of the great Colossus of Rhodes, that huge idol that dominated the entrance of the city-state. Although it was made of stone, copper, and bronze, all valuable materials, once it fell, the parts lay there as a lesson in humility for over 800 years before the Arabs invaded and broke it up. So massive was the scrapping of this statue that it's said that one man from a Syrian city purchased 3,000 loads of Corinthian brass. I can't help but wonder where all that brass is today. How many trinkets have been sold to tourists over the centuries? How many oil lamps were made from the great thumb of the idol? I wonder, when this colossus of ours falls, what of it will lay in the dirt as a warning to future generations? Or will we melt it down and wipe it from our minds so that future generations can speculate if there ever was a time when mankind committed such a barbaric practice upon itself? Will it fade into memory like tales of cannibalism that no civilized people would admit to having in their heritage? Will there be nothing but a stain on the walls of history and a few petrified spores as evidence of this mold? For more articles and podcasts on liberty, the zero aggression principle, and property rights, go to badquaker.com. And thank you for listening.